This message I'm going to share to you now is intended for Christians, okay? But everyone, of course, is welcome. But as I speak as one who stands on the authority of God's Word. I stand under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm believing that God is the Creator, that He's spoken this world into existence in 6 days, that sin has entered this world and we see it in our own hearts. We see the sinfulness of our own hearts. We see it, the destruction and the pain in this world. And we also stand here on the authority believing that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, came and he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He said for himself, this is what I came to do. And not to be a martyr, and not to be a political activist, not just to be an example, not just to be a good teacher, not just to lay down good morals, but Jesus said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many, to forgive us our sin. To bring us to God, to reconcile us to God, so we have peace with our Creator. And so I come here with that worldview in mind as we look at this topic of education, believing that Jesus Christ has come, that He is Lord of all, that He has provided salvation for sinners like you and like me, and that those who would turn from their sin, who would deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Jesus Christ and live for His sake and for His sake alone, they experience His salvation and forgiveness of sins. So I stand here today as a Christian, as a Protestant Christian, one who stands on the authority of Scripture alone. Don't stand here on the councils of the church. Don't stand here because of either sacraments or prayers of saints or purgatory. I know some of you believe these things, but I do not, because they are not contained in the Scriptures. And so I'm holding to here tonight the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone as our authority for these things. Now, I say this right at the front because some of the things we're going to say tonight may seem strange to you if you don't agree to some of those things I've just said. And it's my prayer that as you recognize in your own heart and look at the sinfulness of your own world and recognize the need for your sin, I know that each and every one of us as human beings have guilt and shame. That's a common human experience. Whether you're an atheist, agnostic, Christian, Muslim, you all have guilt and shame. And that is meant to bring us to God, to recognize that there is something wrong with us. And we need forgiveness. We need reconciliation. Now, Christianity is not about, well, let's try to dig deep and try to find the answers to life's problems within. No, Christianity is recognizing that I have a problem within and the solution is found without. And it's found without in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and give his life for our sake so that we might have life. He died in our place to bring us to God. In saying that right up front, now we can begin to look at our topic. And that's the position I'm speaking on here tonight. Now, let's look at our topic again. I've mentioned that there's a number of books being written that are being read to our children, that are designed to be read to children, that perhaps are sent home. Maybe you've got these from the kids. They have what's called a diversity book bag. They send these book bags home with the kids that have these different books in them to read to your children. Here's some titles of some of those books. One Dad, Two Dads, Brown Dad, Blue Dads. Another one was, Oh, the Things Mummies Do. What Could Be Better Than Having Two? Another book title, Emma and Misha, My Boy, A Two-Mom Story. And this was written for 3 to 6-year-olds. Another book called Two Daddies and Me. There's one called A Family Alphabet Book. It's got two dad household on the cover. And as it goes through the alphabet, it says, C is for cookies. Both of my dads know how to make great chocolate chip cookies. And again, trying to make this lifestyle normal for our children. We have another book called Entango Makes Three, about gay penguins in the zoo. Another book called King and King. This one made headlines in the United States. Parents made a ruckus when this book came home and was read to their kids who were 7 years old. Okay, this is read to a grade one class in Massachusetts. In this story, King and King, Prince Bertie must get married and he meets all the lovely princesses, but in the end he chooses to simply follow his own heart. And I quote, simply follow his heart. And he marries Prince Lee, a boy. And so the prince marries another prince, and the last page of this book shows them kissing. And this was read to the first grade class a few years ago in Massachusetts. So remember, this is not sexual education. You can't opt out of this. This is family diversity. This is normal in our day and age. And so all of our kids are expected to read this, understand it, and to prevent them from being homophobic or transphobic or anything like that. Okay, and things like these new policies, these guidelines, Bill 10, Bill 7, they're really undermining parental rights. and progressively being more and more undermined. So my thesis that I want to show you from Scripture tonight is it is time for Christians to remove their children from public education. Okay? It's time for Christians to remove their children from public education. And I want to show you that from Scripture. First, I'm going to look at some history. The government's involvement in education began at the founding of our nation, was part of an effort to create educated citizens so democracy would work. It makes a lot of sense. If you don't have educated citizens, democracy is going to fail. All right? You might think it's failing based on our last number of elections, but I'll leave that with you. The early 1900s, immigration, more and more people were coming from all different societies. And so educational leaders, the progressives of that day, saw public schools as the real mechanism to get all of these people into a melting pot so they all understand and think the same way. A new way of thinking would emerge. The most influential shaper of public schools in the 1900s was an American named John Dewey. He understood that success of his effort would require children to be liberated from the ideas of their parents. Okay? And rather the government and the schools ought to teach these children rather than their parents. He authored a book called A Common Faith. In that book, he advocated a radically secular vision for public schools and the culture at large. His concept was a humanistic faith stripped of all supernatural claims, doctrines, and theological authorities, and this new faith would replace Christianity as the dominant culture-shaping worldview. I think we've seen his efforts come to fruition in our day and age. He writes, "Here are all the elements for a religious faith that shall not be confined to sect, class, or race. Such a faith has always been the common faith of mankind. It remains for us to make it explicit and militant." And so he's calling on here, and especially the schools, to promote this radical secular vision of this world. You know, as you stand here and as you sit in front here, this is the pulpit of this church, and from this church I preach and stand on the authority of God's word. Okay? We do this each and every week. But in our schools, for our children, the pulpit of this new radical secularism, this new faith, as Dewey called it, is our school system. And this is what's being preached to our children each and every day. We would not send our children to a mosque to receive their education, but rather we send them to somewhere that is seeking to deliberately undermine the Christian faith. Now, the control of schools, you know, can we do something about this? Can we fix the schools? Well, the control of schools is increasingly being found in the hands of courts, educational bureaucrats, powerful teachers' unions, and other progressive movements, and that little hope for a correction appears. And that's why I say this is time for us to remove our students from the schools rather than leave them in there. And I know this is a tragedy. Many of you enjoyed your time at school, and the school has done much good in the past, but that early vision of having an educated citizenry so democracy would succeed has now been replaced by an ideological-driven attempt to force this radically secular worldview. Okay, so Christians should not have their children in the public education system. Now, there's four reasons I want to show you from Scripture. Okay, your little handout that you received, if you have one, will be helpful. Just look through some of these passages. You don't need to flip there if you have a Bible, but rather you can look right on there to see where I'm getting this from. Okay, four reasons. The first reason, why an exit strategy is needed from public schools. First reason, Christian parents have the responsibility to give their children a Christian education. Okay? Christian parents have the responsibility to give their children a Christian education. Okay? Not only do parents have the prior right, as the Universal Declaration of Rights states, to choose the kind of education for the children, but Christian parents have a responsibility to give their children a Christian education. Deuteronomy 6, 4-9 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, don't forget what I'm commanding you today. Teach it to your children. Pass on the faith to the next generation. It is your responsibility as parents who are children of the Lord. Ephesians 6 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, at this point, someone's going to be thinking, well, cannot that be done in tandem with public education? Can we not send our kids to school and when they come home, give them that Christian education at home? You know, if they've learned anything that's out of whack, we can fix it. Okay? Now, if you have that objection in your mind, I want you just to consider this for a moment. I would submit to you that you have already embraced a secular worldview. That's secularism. Secularism is you have your faith at home, and who you are out in the world is nothing to do with your faith. There's the natural, and then there's the sacred. Okay, we have science over here, then we have faith over here, and these two things are imposed. That's secularism. And by saying that we can send our kids to school and they can learn all of these things and when they come home, we'll teach them Christianity, you're embracing secularism and their ideals of secularism. We know from Scripture that all knowledge proceeds from a fear of the Lord. It cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Belief in the God of the Scriptures is fundamental to knowledge. That's what the Scriptures claim. But we believe that as Christians. We stand on the authority of God's Word. The knowledge of God is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And later it's going to talk about how it's the foundation of wisdom. Our children not just need to know history or the school's interpretation of history, missing some important facts of history and rewriting others, but rather our children need to know Christian history. They need to know Christian origins. They need to know that God created this earth. They need to know that God is the sustainer and the provider of all things. They need to know that God even sustains logic and mathematics and uniformity. All of this is true, and we can do science because God exists. This is what everyone used to believe. This is what our Ivy League schools were based on a God who has created, and therefore we can do science. And our schools today seek to undermine all of that. I want to read a quote to you from Charles Hodge. He was a principal at Princeton Seminary from 1851 to 1878. He says this, "This whole process of education is to be religious. And not only religious, but Christian. And as Christianity is the only true religion, and God in Christ the only true God, the only possible means of profitable education is the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Advocating 1800s that Christian education is the only thing that we as Christian parents should be doing. Cornelius Van Til, professor at Westminster in the middle of the 1900s, he says this, a great thinker of our age. And again, you're not going to read about him in a school textbook, but Cornelius Van Til, a great thinker, powerful thinker in our age. He says, "Non-Christian education puts the child in a vacuum. The result is that the child dies. Christian education alone really nurtures personality because it alone gives the child air and food. Modern educational philosophy gruesomely insults our God and our Christ. How then do you expect to build anything positively Christian or theistic upon a foundation which is the negation of Christianity and theism? No teaching of any sort is possible except in Christian schools." I was amazed as I studied for this to read about thinkers like Cornelius Van Til and like Charles Hodge and other of these men, J. Gresham Machen. People, Christians, have been calling this alarm for centuries. This is not just new. This is not just in light of the NDP government here in Alberta. They've been calling for this for a long time. So that's my first point that I want to submit to you, that Christian parents are responsible to give their children a Christian education. The second thing from the Scriptures. Christians are warned against false teaching. Okay, number two, Christians are warned against false teaching. The second reason why we need to remove our students from these schools that undermine Christianity. Christians are warned about false teaching. Colossians 2:8, it's on your handout. It says this: "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Okay, this passage is not just to be interpreted in the context of the church when we're talking about cults and other false religions. This passage is talking about everything. Anything that's not according to Christ, don't be duped by it. Don't fall into it. Rather, come out from it. Be removed from it. And I can't think of any greater, more organized, more well-funded, more aggressive, more comprehensive false teaching than our schools today in terms of what our children are being fed with. Almost everything is not according to Christ. Almost everything undermines Christianity and the gospel. Almost everything undermines God as creator and that these scriptures are true. Almost everything in the schools undermines these things. Certainly, if we're going to obey Colossians 2:8, we must be careful about the false teaching that our children are receiving at school. Now let me ask you, if you would not remove your children because their faith is being undermined at school, when would you? If you not remove your children if their faith was being undermined at school, when would you? When would you remove them? If you would not remove your children because of the false teaching of evolution in our schools, when would you remove them? If you would not remove your children because of the immoral language, because of the attitudes and the dress and the conduct occurring at school, when would you remove them? If you would not remove them because of the secularization and the pluralism that's taught at school and embraced and celebrated, when would you remove them? When would you, if you would not remove them because, as we see tonight, they're pushing an agenda of sexual immorality, of what God calls perversity, what God calls an abomination, when would you? When would you remove your child from a school that is teaching these things and undermining what our scriptures and God holds so dear? Vody Bakum says this: "The headlines speak for themselves. Student-teacher sex scandals, student-student sex, immodesty, foul language, drugs, alcohol, radical homosexual agendas, teachers taking students for abortions, sexting leading to suicide, sexually transmitted diseases, brutal beatings and school shootings. These are just some of the headlines that have become the norm," he says. And he continues, "and that does not include things like cheating, disrespect for authority, impropriety towards the opposite sex, and other moral behaviors children learn regularly and repeatedly in school." Are we really going to leave our children in that? Is that not the epitome of false teaching and that which is contrary to the scriptures? And our most vulnerable, our most impressionable, are going to hear that message loud and clear each and every week. So the second point, Christians are warned about false teaching. The third one, third reason why it's time to plan an exit strategy from our schools. As Christians are called to conformity to Christ and not the world. Okay, the third reason why we should remove our children from the schools is Christians are called to conformity to Christ and not the world. Psalm 1:1-3 says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want your children to be blessed? Then we should follow this psalm. "Blessed is the man who does not sit in the counsel of scoffers and of sinners and who receives their instructions." I want to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to be like a tree planted by a stream of water that does not wither but prospers. I want that in our day and age. Not only that, but listen to Romans 12:1-2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You want to know what's good and acceptable and perfect? You want to know what the will of God is? Well, don't be conformed to this world. Renew your mind with the scriptures and the truth of God. Don't be conformed to it. Certainly don't imbibe and go to its education system where they're going to feel you through all kinds of false ideas. Rather be conformed to Christ, not the world. 1 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18 says this, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay, do not be unequally, that's not talking about marriage. Okay, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We are called to be conformed to Jesus Christ, to be radical for Christ, not to be conformed to this world. So how can we give our children to the world to be taught and expect them to believe the scripture and to hold to it wholeheartedly? Now, perhaps you're still thinking, I can get them straightened out. My school's not that bad. I can straighten them out. I give them Christian education at home. If you were to spend 2 hours a week, okay, 2 hours a week, 17 minutes a day. If you were to spend 2 hours a week, 17 minutes a day in Christian instruction, and in most Christian households today, that's probably pushing it, okay? 2 hours a week, 17 minutes a day, it would take you 140 years to give your kids the equivalent education that they receive in school in terms of time, okay? This is not a, it's not a minor thing that you can just fix at home. They're there all day. And it's not just the curriculum. It's their peers. It's the teachers. It's this wedge that the school system is seeking to put in there between the children and the parents. Raquel was reading to me this week, there was a boy who came home, a Christian boy to a Christian family, and their parents were talking about these LGBTQ issues at the family table, and the boy pipes up and says, Dad, that's hate speech. As a Christian. And they said, okay, you're not going to school anymore. All right, that was enough for them. That was the line. And what do you expect? It's not just the schools either. Every TV show, movie. If you look at what our kids are watching on television, almost every single TV show, from cartoon to sitcom all the way up to movie, it makes parents seem so dumb and out of touch. Especially dads. Dads are always so dumb. You know? They're seeking to undermine a parent's authority. This is the influence you want on your children. David Black, writer, says this. No academic skepticism, no secularist authors, no blatant materialism can so undermine the spiritual life of the country like the completely secularized training of the child under the authority of the state. Bible-based education is mandatory for Christian parents. If we think we can keep our children in a secular school system and escape the dumbed-down, amoral and immoral results of secular humanism in schools, we are sorely mistaken. And I agree. Fourth point, and last one, fourth point. Why we need an exit strategy from our schools. Fourth one, Christians are in danger of being against Christ if we do not give our children a Christian education. Okay, this is a strong one. Christians are in danger of being against Christ if we do not give our children a Christian education. Matthew 12:30 says this, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Okay, whoever's not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And what has Jesus taught? That God created this earth with his word. Are you with him on that? What else did Jesus teach? That marriage is between a man and a woman, that it was put that way in Genesis, and it's a picture of the gospel, and that there are roles for men, there are roles for women. Jesus taught that. Are we with him on that? or are we against them? Are we going to teach our kids the exact opposite thing? Jesus also said that sexual relations are found nowhere outside the marriage covenant. Sex is only for the covenant of marriage exclusively. No buts. Everything else is sexual immorality. That's what the scriptures teach. Are our kids going to believe that when we send them to school? If we are not with Christ, we are against Him. Now, if we stand with Jesus, we're going to be called bigoted, we're going to be called intolerant, we're going to be called homophobic and transphobic and just haters in general. And maybe you're thinking that of me right now, okay? We're going to be called that way, but are you willing to be called that for the sake of following Jesus Christ? A.A. Hodge, another Princeton Seminary president, he says this, "I am as sure as I am of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education, separate from religion, as is now commonly proposed," okay, this is back in the 1800s, "will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian and atheistic unbelief and of anti-social nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, which this sin-rent world has ever seen." He's a prophet, writing this more than 100 years ago. See, the school system, this is what's going to wipe out Christianity here in the West. It's going to wipe it out. Now, we still have the belief and the promise that Christ's church will never be defeated. Okay? He's not saying that Christ is going to be defeated, but rather we're going to see in our society a crumbling, a degradation because of what is being taught in the schools. Now, I want to handle, those are my 4 points, okay? 4 things from Scripture I want to submit to you. I just want to handle quickly some objections, okay? I know it's getting late, but I want to talk about some objections because many of you might not be convinced. Perhaps some of you are thinking, man, this guy is a nut. You know, this guy's just crazy. He's one of those old fundamentalists. You know, what rock did he just crawl out of? Now, think what you will, but if you're a Christian, you must listen to the Scriptures, okay? You must listen to the Scriptures as a Christian. If you don't, then don't call yourself a Christian. Because a Christian is going to believe in the same Bible that Jesus believed in. And Jesus believed the Bible was sufficient and clear and authoritative and necessity and without error. Okay, that's clear. So if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you believe in the same Bible that He believed in. Now, a few objections. I want to look at these. Perhaps objection is, we're going to leave our children in the school to be a gospel witness. Okay? I hear this a lot. We're going to leave our children in the school in order to be a gospel witness. Because we've heard the verse that we're the salt of the earth. If you move our children, where's the salt? Are we not the light of the world? Matthew 5:13 says that. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Okay? So we need to leave our children as salt in the school system. But we must read the second half of that verse. Because it says, "But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Our children are in no position to take this fight on by themselves. They will be trampled underfoot. They will lose their saltiness in an ungodly school system that we have. It should be us who are the ones fighting, not our children. We should remove them, and then we as parents, we stand up to say, this is wrong, and we're not going to take this. Not just for the sake of our own kids, but the sake of all the kids in this province, in this country. This is not right. We need to fight, not our children. We're the salt of the earth, along with our children. We don't need to give them over to be taught in Satan's school and let them do the battle for us. And really, you should think about it. If our children, Christian children, are at school as a gospel witness, how has that worked so far in the last 100 years or so? Has that worked? Are our schools getting more and more Christian? Or are our children more and more leaving the church because of the schools? I think if you look at practicalities, you would see the schools winning. We see a mass exodus of our children from the church. Okay? Second objection you might have, our school is different. Okay, I get this one a lot too. You don't know my school. My school is a good school. They're not going to do any of this stuff. Our school is different. They're high academic standard. They're low tolerance for any of this immorality stuff. They're a great school. I know one of the teachers. Boy, she's such a great teacher. Now, this can be true, especially in some of our rural schools. They'd be better, less immorality than we have in some of these city schools that we have around us here. But be careful not to tell yourself that your school is better because you are unwilling to pay the price of looking for alternative choices in education. Because it's going to be too difficult, too hard. How am I going to do it? We both work. You know, all these different ideas that might be thinking in your mind. Okay? Our schools are not only becoming more and more immoral, and not just our city schools, but all around. Not only becoming more and more immoral, but our schools are also lacking, I think, more and more in an academic quality. Okay? And you don't have to go far. You ask the colleges, ask the universities, ask the employers of what kind of students are being graduated today. They're all going to give you a thumbs down. This is not good. Education is not good. It's in tatters. Kids don't know how to read. They don't know how to do math. They don't know how to think. They come out of school just demanding rights and demanding privileges. Okay? And that's what they're taught, to demand these things. Okay? I think our schools are worse than we think. We're more like a frog who's being slowly boiled without the wherewithal to jump out of the pot. The third objection I want to handle, and this is the last one, third and last objection. I've prayed about it, and I have peace about it. Okay, I'm going to leave my children in there. I've prayed about it, and God has given me peace. Okay, now, I know that some of you are still committed to your educational choices regardless of what we've gone through here tonight. Perhaps you have prayed about it. Perhaps you will pray about it and do what the Lord leads your family to do. Okay, and those are good things. Oftentimes, in Christian circles, that phrase is used. You know, I'll pray about it, and I'll do what the Lord leads. It's often used as a means to disregard what He's already said in Scripture. There are some things that we don't need to pray about, okay? Because God has already told us what to do. All right? We don't need to pray and say, God, do I need to make disciples? No, I've commanded you to do it. Do I need to be holy? Yes, I've commanded you to do it. You don't need to pray about those things. You just do it. Okay? And the same thing with a Christian education for our children. We don't need to pray about it. We need to do it. God has told us in the Bible. Okay? And if you have a feeling or if you have a peace that is leading you to disobey God's word, well, that peace is not from God. And that leading is not from God. Okay? So certainly do pray. Do it with the Scriptures opened. Okay? Not listening to your own heart, but rather listening to God and what He's written. Okay? Now in conclusion, message to parents. We've seen from the Scripture tonight that the state of education that we're in our province is horrendous. And as Christians, our children have no place in these schools who embrace anything of these policies. Okay? No place. To the parents, I want to read and close with my address to the parents with this quote from John Wesley. 1700s. John Wesley's already talking about school system. John Wesley, 1700s. He says this, "Let it be remembered that I do not speak to the wild, the giddy, the thoughtless world, but I speak to those that fear God. I ask then, for what end do you send your children to school? Why? That they may be fit to live in the world? In which world do you mean? This or the next? Perhaps you thought of this world only and had forgot that there is a world to come, yea, and one that will last forever. Pray take this into account and send them to such masters as will keep it always before their eyes. Otherwise, to send them to a government school, permit me for speaking plainly, is little better than sending them to the devil. At all events, then, send your boys and girls, if you have any concern for their souls, not to any of the large public schools, for they are nurseries of all manner of wickedness, but private school, kept by some pious man who endeavors to instruct a small number of children in religion and learning together." It's from John Wesley. That's my message to the parents. Now to the church. If you're part of the church, my message to you is this. We as a church must equip and support parents to make good educational choices and to be there to help them. If someone decides, I cannot send my kid to this public school anymore and I need to remove them, we as a church need to come there and support them. There are so many homeschoolers in our church now. All right? We need to come alongside and say, here, this is how we can help you. Here's the curriculum that we use, that we like. How can we help you in any which way? We need to bend over backwards for the sake of our children. So we can help parents raise their children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. This is a big challenge, but we as the church need to stand up and to help parents as they educate their children. Okay, we need to help in evaluating alternative schools. Homeschooling seems to be a very popular option. That's a choice that we have chosen for our children. Now, to the school boards. If there's anybody here in the school boards, or if anybody watches this presentation later, I call on all school boards to disobey the law. Now, you might wonder, how can you as a pastor call on school boards to practice civil disobedience and to disobey the law? Aren't we supposed to follow the law? Isn't that the Christian thing to do, to obey your leaders, obey your government? Didn't Peter say, obey your government? Wasn't he talking about Nero, who burned Christians in his garden? Didn't he say, obey them and submit to them and honor them? He did. And that's the same Peter that also said, I cannot obey man, but I must obey God, when they told him not to preach in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we continue to obey the speed limit. We continue to obey the laws. Okay, when it comes to sacrificing our children, when it comes to taking our children away and teaching them a faith that is undermining, a religion that is false and undermining what the scriptures teach, we must say, no, we will obey God and not man. So I call on school boards to say, no, we're going to obey God and not men. And remember, okay, this sounds so radical in our day and age today. Okay, the church has been passive for so long. You know, we had a time when they called the fighting fundamentalists back in the 1920s. Okay, but since then we've grown passive and lazy and lethargic. Remember that we as Protestants who believe the scriptures of God were born out of protest. We're born out of a revolution, a revolt from someone seeking to oppress them, to think a certain way and to disobey the word of God, to deny justification by faith alone, to deny the inerrancy of the scriptures. And they rose up in protest. So I call on school boards to do the same. Now to the people, to all of us here. We must make noise so that this issue becomes an election issue. Okay, I've already called on parents with children to pull their children out of the schools or to plan an exit strategy, but we, the people, must make a noise so our government hears it. So it does become an election issue. We must not slip into cowardice like our opposition parties have. And there are Christians in those parties, and they're silent. We must not be silent. We must not be cowards. We must speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must speak on the truthfulness of Scripture. You know, our society today is bullying. It's totalitarian. They want you to be quiet. They want you to say nothing. They want you just to roll over. We need to speak. This is not right. Our God who created the world calls this immorality, and we will not stand for it. We will not stand for it being taught to our children here in our province. Let us be rather than a moral majority, which we're not, let us be a prophetic voice calling our schools and our city and our province and country to repentance. Let's have a word of prayer before we're dismissed.